WDIY News is pleased to welcome back Dr. Jeffrey Jerry for a Lehigh Valley coronavirus update. He is the Senior Vice President of Medical and Academic Affairs and Chief Emeritus of Infectious Disease Specialists with St. Luke's University Health Network. Welcome, Doctor.
Well, thank you very much for having me again. It's always a pleasure to be with you, and I trust that you and your audience are well.
You touched on it before, and we'll move over to that area regarding vaccine rollout. I have not heard one outlet explain the process. Would you mind for our listeners and everyone at large explaining the rollout process of vaccine in Pennsylvania and the stages such as 1A, 1B, 1C, etc.?
I will try. And one of the major frustrations that everyone has out there is, number one, am I eligible to get the vaccine? Number two, if I'm eligible, how do I get the vaccine? How do I get served? And unfortunately, the answers to all of those have not been as simple as they could be. I've mentioned before that the task of immunizing the millions of people that should get immunized, and we're talking in terms of adults, somewhere in the order of 300 million people, is monumental. It's enormous. And no one is going to do that without making certain mistakes. And that certainly has been true so far. So irrespective of the politics that are involved, you can expect that none of these rollouts are going to be 100% smooth. The best that you can expect is that we're going to learn from these mistakes and correct them and not spend a lot of time in the blame game, but trying to circle the wagons and saying, let's move forward and how we can improve the process. So one of the problems that we have in Pennsylvania right now is that the rollout has certainly been, I would say, confusing. The initial rollout, as everyone knows, was so-called 1A class, and that seemed to make sense. That one in that 1A class, it included the people who were frontline healthcare workers, the people who would have ongoing contact with COVID-19 patients, as well as the most vulnerable population to the worst complications, side effects, and obviously highest death rate. And that was your elderly population that was confined in nursing homes. So the hospitals, by and large, were given the task of doing the rollout for the healthcare workers. And that included not only the healthcare workers that were employed by the hospitals or worked in a hospital, but obviously independent individuals, people such as dentists, optometrists, opticians, so on and so forth. And by and large, and certainly that's true in the Lehigh Valley, that was largely accomplished. The task for doing the skilled nursing homes, as I mentioned earlier, was given to the two large pharmacy chains, and in certain areas it was done much better than others, and I think I can probably leave it at that. Unfortunately, then, as of January the 20th, the state made a major change, a major announcement, and that was with very little notice. And it somewhat followed federal guidelines as well, that now this 1A class would include anyone over the age of 65 and anyone who is age 16 to 64. Remember that none of these vaccines are approved for under age 16, and only the Pfizer vaccine is approved for age 16 to 18. So anyone between 16 and 64 who had a significant underlying health condition. And those significant underlying health conditions included almost anything that you could probably name. Anybody with any kind of heart disease, lung disease, kidney disease, diabetes, including even people who smoked. So suddenly, you now had, in terms of eligibility, many, many, many more millions of people. What the state was not clear about was there was no way, based on the vaccine supply, that you could service that population. It wasn't made clear to that population that even though you're now eligible, we don't have the vaccine to give it to you. And so everybody had to make certain decisions. At that point in time, even if you wanted to look at people who were over the age of 65, that would include in our state 3.5 million people. And we only had about a million doses for the state totally. So there was no way that you could even do those people, much less people who are 16 to 64. Unfortunately, that was not, again, I want to repeat, it was not made clear by the state to the population as a whole. So every place was flooded with phone calls. And, you know, how can I get on this list? And why can't I get the vaccine immediately? I am now eligible. And the answer was simply that there isn't vaccine to give to you. So everybody had to make certain choices. The one thing that everyone agrees on is that if you take a look at the population that is most risky, it is still the elderly population. And we already mentioned about the elderly population in nursing homes, but if you take a look at people who are dying as a whole, 80% of those people are over the age of 65. So what most people decided to do, including our hospital, and I know that was also true of Lehigh Valley Hospital, is with the limited vaccine supply that we had, is to try and prioritize first the group that is 75 and above, who's obviously not in a nursing home, and then go down to age 70 and then 65 as we had enough vaccine supply to do so. And that, again, created a lot of problems because people didn't understand exactly what was being done. The phone lines were all flooded. Signing up on the websites initially was flooded, so a lot of that had to be repaired because there was this tremendous influx based on this sudden announcement that didn't give anyone any preparation for. What I can tell you right now is that the supplies have been slowly increasing, but they are still grossly inadequate. There is a tremendous unpredictability of the supplies that the federal government tells the state how much they're going to get as much as 3 weeks in advance. The problem is they don't get what they're told. So that's number one. And then clearly they then have to allocate it to a bunch of different recipients that now include private pharmacies or supermarket pharmacies who get small amounts. And that is another issue that's causing a lot of problems. So someone's faced with a whole bunch of potential sign-up areas and not knowing which one to go to. So we're not even through that 1A phase. Then there's the 1B phase that has to do with anyone who works in the food industry, grocery store workers, manufacturing. Here we're now talking about teachers, early childhood and adult daycare center individuals, clergy, public transit personnel. There's millions of more people that are in that group. And that's supposed to be followed by 1C, which now has a number of other folks in construction, those who work in the judiciary, those who work in our energy and nuclear power plants, and public health workers. What I'm trying to say is that, unfortunately, you can look within these groups and you can find many, many holes within that that you have to now say, is there one individual who works in a certain area that's more valuable than another? That's an impossible choice to make. It is full of lots of debate. And so they have really left us with this kind of an issue. I mean, I can give you an example that they're considering public health workers in 1C. That makes no sense at all. Public health workers are the ones, in many cases, who are out there doing a lot of the testing at healthcare centers that are run by the state or by the city, and they're also giving the vaccines. So you have to make choices within those choices and hope that the state isn't going to come down on you for the choices that you are making. That is really very, very confusing. And then finally you get to that group, which is phase two, which is everyone else. So the only good news about all of this is that I think with the increased manufacturing, and we're about to have a new vaccine hopefully come on the scene, and that's the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, that there are estimates. And here again, there are predictions. Dr. Fauci originally said that he thinks that everyone who wants the vaccine will be able to get it at the end of May. So if we're going to use that figure, let's hope that by the midsummer or the end of the summer, everyone who wants the vaccine will be able to get it. But right now, we're still in this sort of state that has left a lot of people scratching their heads as to what to do. And I know that the state is working on this. I know that it's a very, very difficult task. But what we're trying to get across to them is that the messaging that they're putting out has not been consistent. It's not been clear, and it sometimes depends on who's giving that messaging. And we're asking them to have more clarity and to allow the end users that have a tremendous amount of efficiency in giving this vaccine, and I'm talking about in our area, the two large healthcare systems do, let us do what we do best and not to try and confuse our issues.
It seems like Pennsylvania, in their announcement, left out what was very important context that created a stampede towards the door. Reports suggest that the Secretary of Health, Alison Beam, for Pennsylvania, is considering allowing 1B applicants to begin getting in line. Will that create another stampede for the health systems?
I think we have to be very clear on how we're going to allocate this. So the more people that you make eligible, you have to let them know that doesn't necessarily mean that you now can get that vaccine, that there's still going to have to be a priority list based on our supply. We wish that that wasn't the case. The limiting factor, and I really want to point that out, in the Lehigh Valley is not the robustness of the healthcare centers in giving the vaccine. I mean, there are days that we give 3,700 doses. We could double that with ease. And I know that I can speak for Lehigh Valley, and they're equally robust, and they can do the same kind of thing if you have the vaccine supply. What they've done is to complicate things by trying to give it to every corner pharmacy who has only small amounts of the vaccine. It doesn't have that kind of efficiency. So that type of thing works best if you're in a very rural county. If you're in some place like Potter County or Forest County or Pike County, then you may not have a large healthcare system. And at that point, that's where your corner pharmacy will do it best. They know the population. But in our area, by expanding the amount of places that people can get the vaccine, theoretically, but not in actuality, all they're doing is creating confusion. It's making people sign up in 30 different places, and that is not the way to do things. So I'm hoping that what they end up doing is to try and solidify their message a little bit better, and then we can kind of do what we need to be able to do based on our vaccine supply. We now have a very, very good system to be able to let people know. Anybody can register. Anyone can register on our site by using St. Luke's My Chart or by calling 1-866-ST-LUKES, option 7. Again, if you can't use a computer, call 1-866-ST-LUKES, option 7, and you can leave a message. Somebody will get back to you within 24 hours and let you know how you can sign up, and they will sign you up, and you'll be able to accomplish the same thing as if you did it through an app. And that's if you're perfectly healthy, you can do that. Then we will let you know not only when you are eligible, but also when we actually can put you in a slot for a vaccine. So by all means, register, but we have to have the ability to be able to prioritize based on the amount of vaccine that we have. And in the past, the issue is we haven't been getting a lot of notice. Sometimes we don't know from one day to the other. And this is excluding all the difficulties that the weather has caused. And that, unfortunately, is totally unpredictable. There were many days last week and the week before where we got no deliveries at all because the vaccine is sent from a central source, you know, in the country, and it snowed in, and the transport is totally blocked. So we have to make allowances for all of these different things. And then the state has also given us some mixed messages about whether or not to hold back any vaccine for a second dose. At one point, they said that you absolutely shouldn't do that, and a number of these second doses were then allotted, and then they come back and say, actually, you should have. So, again, we need a consistent message. I understand all of the problems that one faces when they have to do this on a state level, but at the same token, I think we could be doing better.
There's been many stories about older, lower-income, and marginalized communities not having, again, the tech savviness to get in line. That's fantastic, and I'm glad you're providing a phone number. Are there any other outreach programs or initiatives you're doing in order to serve those communities?
That's an extremely important situation, that whenever you're dealing with this kind of program, as we've already said before, one size doesn't fit all. One size doesn't fit all because not all counties are the same. They don't have the same kind of health care. And it's certainly also true with a number of different populations, and there are disadvantaged populations. And you have to be able to reach everyone. So these are some of the things that we are doing in that situation, because unfortunately, the disadvantaged populations are also unfairly hit by this pandemic, and that they have more disease and more severe disease. So in order to do that, we've had partnerships. One of them is called the Latino Connection, and we're doing that with the state. We were going out into the areas and being able to service that population directly in a way that relates to them. Also, we're working very closely with the Hispanic Center in Bethlehem. We just had a drive this weekend where we rapidly filled up 200 spots, and we're planning on having many more. We have a very good working relationship with the Shiloh Baptist Church, which is one of the largest, if not the largest, Afro-American church in our community. And what you have to be able to do in all of these areas is you have to be able to get your message across in a way that relates to the population that you're trying to get at. So if it's a different language, it obviously has to be in that different language. It has to be from people in the community that they can relate to and say, yes, that does apply to me. And again, we are doing all of those things and many more in an effort to make certain that this vaccine is inclusive, and it absolutely needs to be.
Have your efforts been received positively from these communities?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's not to say that a lot more progress needs to be made. And we're doing all of those things. We have consultancy groups that are also helping us.
Thank you, Dr. Jeffrey Jerry of St. Luke's University Health Network. We appreciate your time and expert information.
I hope that was helpful. It's always a pleasure, James. And I hope that you, your family, and your colleagues are staying safe and healthy.
Join Dr. Jerry tomorrow during All Things Considered at 5:44 for part 3 of this COVID-19 update, where we'll talk more about vigilance even with more vaccines on the horizon and double masking. For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting.